Good morning, everyone. How is everybody? Everybody having a Merry Christmas? Hey, listen, are you trying to tell me something, bro? I did just remember, man, you guys have been here as many times as I've been up here. I wouldn't be nervous right now. So, it is what it is. So, just real quick before we get started. So, if we get in the car and we start driving, but we don't know where we're going, when we get there, we're going over there. Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
Yeah.
So, there's a place that I want our hearts to be in when I'm through up here today. And that place that I want your heart to be in is complete and utter surrender to the will of God in your life. That place that I want your heart to be in is repentance. A place of repentance that perhaps you haven't been in your life. Right? So, when I start the message, you're going to think to yourself, oh, this is just a salvation message for those who don't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And if you think that, you're going to miss what I'm trying to tell you. This is a message for someone that's in this room today that maybe their relationship with Jesus just ain't what it once was. This message is for somebody that, dare I say, is lukewarm. Right? Because like, when we get into a relationship with our significant other, there's that thing called the honeymoon phase where we just love over each other and kiss on each other, and then after that's all gone, right? Then we're like, and sometimes our relationship with Jesus is like that as well. Like we come to know Jesus and we're so excited for Jesus, and then life happens. When we forget to read our word on a daily basis, when we forget to surrender our lives to Him. And so here's the truth of the matter. I don't want you guys going into 25. I don't want you to say, oh, I'm gonna, in 2025, I'm gonna do all this great stuff. No, why wait? Don't start the new year with Jesus where He's supposed to be in your heart. End this year with Jesus where He's supposed to be in your heart. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to come to you right now in the name of Jesus, and I want to pray for a double anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that any word that leaves my lips will not be from my brain or my heart, but it will be given to me from the Holy Spirit directly. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, as we read the words in your book today, that they can be sharper than any two-edged sword and pierce our hearts in a way that brings us to you, Father God, closer than we've ever been before. Take over today's service. Holy Spirit, fall in this room today. Touch every soul that is in this room today, Father God. I want to pray, Lord God, that you give us ears to hear. I want to say it again, Lord, give us ears to hear in the name of Jesus. I pray. Amen. Hey, listen, if you got a pen and you want to stick with me in the Word, we're not going to have scripture on the screens today. It's going to be a lot of reading in the Word of God. So just real quick, if you want to write this down, because we're going to be jumping around from the Old New Testament to the Old Testament, Old Testament, New Testament. So, we're going to start in Acts chapter 8. We're going to start in Acts chapter 8. Verse 26. And then we're going to read a little bit there, and we're going to jump over to Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13. And we're going to read all the way through Isaiah chapter 2, verse 13, all the way through chapter 53, the entire chapter. And then when we're done in Isaiah, official in charge of all the treasures of Kandake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stand near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. So there's a couple things that we can learn from this little piece of scripture. Here's the first thing. This dude ain't broke, right? So if you take this eunuch, you're like, okay, he works for the queen. He's in charge of all of her money, right? So we think to ourselves, well, he's not broke. Well, how do I know he's not broke? So do a little bit of research. If you research how much it costs in money-wise for someone to own the book of Isaiah, you will learn that it ain't cheap. Like, today we have it so good. We can just go to any store we want. We can pick up our phone, and this word is more accessible than it's ever been in the history of the earth. Back then, they wrote the scroll, so I looked it up, the Dead Sea Scroll is like, it is humongous, the book of Isaiah. Like, it is ginormous. And somebody hand wrote that, like, blew my mind, right? So, every word for word, almost, the Dead Sea Scrolls were almost word for word, what's in the book of Isaiah today. And so, for someone to have that, to be traveling with that, tells me two things. First thing, dude ain't broke. Dude's got money. Second thing, he really loves God, right? So, not only does he have in possession of him a very expensive book of Isaiah, but the dude also traveled. It's debatable in the internet world, right? Somebody said, I did the math. It was over 4,500 miles. But where things are now is not where they are then. So it's like 2,500 miles in 1 month's time. So if he took a month out of his life and he traveled 2,500 miles to do what? To worship God. Some of us debated whether or not we wanted to come here this morning, right? I do. So, we know that he was not broken, he loves God, what's that Jesus? So many times in life, right? Not everybody, I'm guilty of this. We look at somebody that has money, and we think to ourselves, man, if I only had what they had. Here's the truth. If that dude didn't have a God-sized hole in his heart, he wouldn't have put forth the money to buy the book of Isaiah, and he wouldn't have traveled 1 month or 2,500 miles just to go worship the Lord. Right? There's nothing in this world that can fill a God-sized hole in your heart. Nothing. And at the end of the day, it don't matter. You can have all this stuff that money can buy. If you don't have Jesus in your heart, when it's all said and done, the trumpet's ringing, and the clouds part, it's a wrap, man. It was all for nothing. Right? So, if we turn our Bible, one of these days, I will remember to bring some water with me to this day. I didn't think I was going to be this hyped up. I was trying to stay calm today. Yeah. No, I'm serious. Thank you, brother. I can always count on you. All right.
Good job, brother.
So, I got all these notes here. And so I was debating all week, so this is what happened. I knew since like October that I was going to be on this day, right? plenty of time to prepare. So I'm praying, I'm praying, I'm praying, my God, give me something, what am I going to pray to? It's getting closer, it's getting closer, it's getting closer, and I'm getting nothing. I tell Jacob, I'm like, Jacob, I'm like, you know, I'm like, I got nothing, dude, I got nothing. And I'm, through the course of events, I came across this Isaiah chapter 53. And so, I debated on where I was going to put this story in this sermon. And I want you to know where my heart was when I read this chapter of Isaiah. May have read before, but it's never touched me and grabbed me like it did the day that I read it to prepare for this sermon. And so he was going to move me and my mom and my five, at the time, five brothers and sisters out here to the back to the Missouri side. And so he rented this house, and we were in the process of moving in this house. And one of my brothers and sisters did something. I mean, it was not cool, right? Like we were known as Myra's Brats. We were not good kids. We were freaking heathens. Okay. Right? So, one of my brothers and sisters took a crap in the bedroom closet. So, to put this in perspective, at the time I was 9 years old. So that makes my older sister like 13. That makes the brother underneath me 7 years old. And then my little sister after that was 5 and 3. So this gentleman took all of us and lined us up in the bedroom and pulled all of our pants down. And we were standing there like this. And he went behind us with the belt. Who did it? And he went down the line from my sister to me, to my brother, to my sister, to my 2-year-old sister. He went down the line twice. And finally, my little brother had had enough. My son is 7 years old. You guys see him. He'll be 7 next week. That's how old my little brother was at the time that this happened. Finally, my brother said, I did it, I did it. He didn't do it. But he has had enough of seeing his brothers and sisters be beaten. I'm going to tell you what happened. That man sent me and my brothers and sisters out of the room and kept my little brother Troy. About 30 minutes passed by when my little brother came out of that room naked. From here to here was black as that fog right there. That man beat my little brother half to death. And then he took him naked and threw him in the car and took him to Leeds, a jail that used to be in Great Town, and threw him out of the car and said, that's where people go that don't know how to act right, and left him there at 7 years old. It sounds brutal, right? Well, it was. And the read, let's read scripture.
Thank you.
We're going to start in Isaiah chapter 52. And we're going to start in verse 13. The suffering and mourning of the servant. See, my servant will act wisely. And he will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance of any human being, and his form marred beyond any human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were told, they will not see. And what they have heard, they will understand. And what they have not heard, they will understand. So, just to clarify, because maybe you didn't pick that up, right? So, somewhere around between 536 and 746 years before the birth of Christ that we celebrated last week, somebody took and wrote this prophecy about Jesus Christ hanging on the cross before it ever happened. One more time. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So why did I tell you this story, y'all, bro? See, when we just read that, like, we just read it. Sometimes we don't take the time to actually, like, when you're reading God's Word, do you pray for the Holy Spirit to touch your heart while you're reading it? Yeah. Listen, here's the deal, you guys. God Himself refers to this book as a two-edged sword. What is a sword used for? It's used for piercing. These words in this book should pierce your heart in a way that brings you to pure and utter repentance. He didn't look like a human. We've seen pictures and movies of him hanging on that cross, and they don't do him no justice. He looked not like a human anymore. When they beat him and ripped his freaking flesh off of his bones, and when they spit on him, when they smacked him, when they hung him to the cross, we get busy making sure our kids got what they need, what they want for Christmas. We get busy making sure our child has Nikes to wear school on the birthday. We get busy arguing with our wives. We forget what He done for us on that cross. There's a reason that the New Testament tells us exactly what happened from four different places in like four different gospels in the New Testament. And there's a reason that it tells us what happened to him in Isaiah 700 years before it happened. It's to build in us the confidence that the word of this book are true. We're going to go ahead and move to 53. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? I'm going to repeat that. And I'm not reading, I'm asking you guys this question. Who in this room has believed this message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Thank you. I prayed intentionally for you to have ears to hear today. I prayed intentionally for you to have ears to hear today. Because so many times we just listen. You guys remember that movie, White Man Can't Jump? Where's my age baby's at? Come on, somebody. Right? So Wesley Snipes is sitting in the back seat of the car, and Woody Harrelson's driving the car, and that pretty girl, I don't remember her name, but she was in the passenger seat, and Woody takes the cassette tape. I know you young kids don't know what a cassette tape is. Ask your parents. He put the cassette tape in the tape player, and Jimi Hendrix started playing. And Wesley Snipes said, "Oh, you white people, you listen to you listen to Jimmy, but you don't hear Jimmy. I don't want you to listen to my words today. I want you to hear them. I want you to hear them." Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and looked like a was that we should desire
him.
So here's the deal, right? Like, we get all these, like, who watches The Chosen? Anybody besides me? I love that show. That dude, he was good looking, right? To play Jesus. I can say that confidently. I'm not looking, right? Like, that's a good looking dude. That's not pastor. The word just told us that dude did not look anything that was desirable to the human eye. Right? Like, he was not attractive. He was not a track star. He was not a football player. He was not anything that we would look at and be like, oh, that dude needs to be on GQ. A matter of fact, he was the opposite of that. Right? I think there's a reason for that. Like, obviously, there's a reason who Jesus and God, right? So, like, but, like, there's something to that about, like, we shouldn't be so quick to look at someone's outside appearance and make a determination as to who they are as a person. Right? Verse 4. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. One more time, verse 4. Surely he took up our pain. That's why I told the story about my little brother. He died about 2 years ago of a hot shot. Like, it's horrible. I deserve anything that happens to me in my life. Like, I've been a freaking piece of crap for a lot of years. Like, if something bad happens to me, like, I deserve that. My little brother was 7 years old. There ain't a 7-year-old on this planet who could never deserve what happened to him. Right? Jesus walked on this earth for 33 years. Never prayed to have that person's money. Never looked at that girl's rear end. Never stole something just because he wanted it. Never committed a sin, period, in the story. Never committed a sin. Yet he took that all for my sin, and your sin, and your sin, and your sin, and everyone in this room's sin, and every person that's ever prayed on this earth's sin. He took that. Although he was perfect. Didn't deserve it.
Hallelujah.
But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his words, we were healed. We are like sheep that have gone astray. Each of us has turned on our own way. And the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So, here's the deal. From the moment that we were born, right? We're in the hospital, we come out of the womb. The world is putting stuff in our path to distract us. Right? Like, I believe this. I believe that a baby, that comes out of the womb, like, there's a moment in time somewhere where, like, that baby's soul is connected with the Holy Spirit. And somewhere along the line, it's disconnected, and the world starts to weasel its way in there. So from the moment that like the world starts to weasel its way in our life and tell us a bunch of junk that doesn't matter, right? That we need this and we have to have this. the world starts to corrupt us and lead us astray on where it is that God wants us to be done. He opposes the afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to slaughter, as a sheep before its shears is silent. So he did not open his mouth. So many times we can avoid conflict in our life if we can shut up. So we drive like, all the way here today. My wife, I wanted to go right. She wanted me to go straight. I just went ahead and did straight, and I'm going straight up. Look, I'm right, but I don't want to argue with you, so I'll just go your way. Sometimes in life, we just need to shut up, man. They know our business anyway. Is it early in the kingdom? Then what do we worry about? Here's another part of that. Okay, so I don't want to get too far down the rabbit hole. Think about this for a minute. Think about this for a minute, guys. So, 700 years before the birth of Jesus, somebody wrote this down. And the book of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God, right? So think about it. So Jesus and God are sitting in heaven, right? And Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit right over there, right? And they're like, hey, Isaiah, this is what's about to happen. Isaiah didn't write this, but technically he didn't write this in the title card, but they're like, hey, write this down. This is what's gonna happen. God is looking at Jesus, he's like, yeah, that's what's about to happen, dude. And then fast forward now, Jesus is one hanging on the cross, and God is in heaven, and Isaiah is in heaven with him, and they're looking down and they're watching all this happen. Anyway, that's where my imagination went. That's no perfect guy, I don't think. You want to just tell us, all the kids are up here. We got a long way to go. Praise God, you got the minds of the fuck.
Number with the transgressions, for he bore the sin of many. many training in, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressions. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and flip over back to Acts, but before we do, so the word justified. Do you guys understand why it uses that word justified? God has to be just. He is God, he is perfect. He has no flaws. He has to be just. He cannot show favor. Right? So here's the deal. If I walk up to anybody, right? Let's say I rob a bank. I walk in there, I rob a bank. Give me the money! Nope. Guess what? So then I go in front of the judge. The judge has a mandate. I have a gun. I rob the bank. He has to give me from 15 to 30 years in prison. He has no choice. He took an oath as a judge that if somebody comes before him to broke a crime, he will give him the punishment that crime called for. And the punishment for our crime is death, an eternal separation from God our Creator for eternity. That is the punishment. And the only thing that could take away that punishment was the blood of the Lamb that was shed on the cross. So literally, Jesus had to die for our sins. He had to, or we would burn in hell for eternity. Period. End of story. And once we become to believe that, once we believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, once the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, once we believe that he raised on the third day, we now can just spend eternity with him in heaven. And it has to be that way, because our sins cannot be justified any other way. Back to Acts. So, Philip had basically got the Holy Spirit told Philip, go down here and teach this dude about who I am. So Philip gets in the buggy, they're riding down the thing, and Philip basically tells him everything that I just told you guys. They go back to the book of Isaiah. Weird thing. Didn't have chapters when this happened. We didn't put chapters in the Bible until 100 years ago. Anyway. How can I? Okay. So the eunuch asked Philip, tell me please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of being baptized? And he said, and he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized them. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away. And the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. We'll repeat that. He went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached. So here's the thing. Like, there's two places we can be. Should have four places, but this story, there's two places we can be. We can be the eunuch that traveled a month and 2,500 miles to learn about God, or we can be Philip, the one that's telling the eunuch about God. Which one are you today? Are you in this room and you're like the eunuch and there's just some stuff that you just don't quite understand and you're hungry and you're thirsty for the touch of God in your life? Or are you Philip? Are you going to leave this room today and come and tell the first person you see about Jesus?
There's no wrong answer. There's no wrong answer. But we're one or the other. At least I hope so. My brother never could figure it out. We fought. We loved each other deeply, and we fought deeply. He died on my son's birthday about 3 years ago. Heroin overdose. It's something I struggle with, to be honest with you, right? Pretty much that night is the same way my brother's life went from that day forward. He was not innocent by any stretch of imagination. He was not innocent. He suffered that night for sins that weren't his. Same as Jesus suffered for our sins. And we can come to believe it. And we can come to live it. Or we don't. Choice is yours. Here's the thing. Once we come to believe it, once we come to live it, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us. And when the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, guess what happens when we sin? We get convicted. The Holy Spirit convicts our heart, and he says, don't do that anymore. Right? We begin to repent. And when we begin to repent, we begin to build these steps in our relationship with Jesus. And when we build these steps with our relationship with Jesus, through reading our word, through repentance, through coming here, through spreading the gospel, we begin to build this relationship, and out of that relationship comes the fullness of Christ. There's nothing in this world that could ever compare to living a life in the fullness of Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to lift up the congregation right now. We thank you that you brought us all here today. Keep us safe. Bring us back next week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.